You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Okay, everybody. I have something really cool to tell you about. If you haven't heard yet about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain here. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one single place. Now, the way that you can do this is you got to download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm, and then you can get started. It's really fun. We just switched over recently here at All Too Real 2, and I'm enjoying it so far. So be sure to check it out, and let us know what you think. Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, rocking it and rolling it into the 80s, is
Matthew, 80s, I can't think, but Matthew Haas, I couldn't think of
okay.
a good nickname this time.
I'm just going to call you Matthew.
Ooh, I like that. Just like a one name thing.
Yes.
Like Prince. Okay.
You're like Prince or Cher or Madonna.
Yeah. Okay.
All popular in the 80s.
I wasn't that popular in the 80s because I was just like a little kid. But like,
but they all were. So
they all were. Yeah.
So it works.
Yeah.
Anyways, today on the show,
I'm an 80s and 90s child.
Yes.
Because I was born in the early 80s, so I have enough memories of the 80s to be considered an 80s child, but I was primarily more 90s, early to mid 90s child. So I'm like in that little in between, you know, place or whatever.
Yeah, I was born in the late 70s, so I was an 80s child.
Yeah.
A little bit of
exactly.
90s. Not much 90s, but a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, on today's show, as we venture into our series called Pilot Era, where we look at television shows that lasted one season or less, and we look at the pilot episode of those shows, we're looking at That 80s Show, a show that premiered in January of 2002, and aired its last episode in May of 2002. It had 13 episodes. It was kind of, but not a, it was not a direct, but kind of a spin-off of That 70s Show, which was a, you know, much better, more loved television show.
It was a hit.
Maybe not so much right now with the Danny Masterson of it all, but
right.
That's okay. He was still good on the show. I can't deny that.
Right.
So, this was obviously a period sitcom that took place in the 1980s. This wasn't like the 1880s. Because that would have been a completely different show.
Right.
And maybe better.
Yeah.
The show was created by Mark Brazil, who is a Facebook friend of mine. Hi, Mark. And Terry Turner and Linda Wallum. Mark and Terry both were two of the co-creators of That 70s Show. It starred, in his first television show, television performance, Glenn Howerton as Corey Howard, a struggling musician who lives at home with his sister and his father and works at a place called Permanent Record, a record store. It also has Tinsley Grimes as Katie Howard, his sister. Shyler Lee as June Tuesday, a punk rock chick. Eddie Shin as a yuppie guy who's like in love with Ronald Reagan. Brittany Daniel as Corey's bisexual ex-girlfriend who has an unrequited crush on Corey's sister, Katie. Stand-up comic Margaret Smith as Margaret, an ex-hippie rock groupie and owner of Permanent Record. And Jeff Pearson as R.T. Howard, Corey and Katie's divorced father. Yep. That is your cast, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened in this pilot here, Matt?
Well, got to clear my throat because I got a lot to say. What happened is the show really, really, really wants you to understand that it takes place in the 80s. Like, it's very, like, paramount that, like, you know it's in the 80s. Like, get it? Like, at a dance club, you know, two Wall Street guys are like, oh, is my nose bleeding? Get it? Cocaine? 80s? Wall Street? You know, a guy's on his mobile phone. Like, I'm at a phone. It's not a payphone. I got, and he like shakes his ice, like, you hear the ice? It's like, get it? Sorry, one of your Facebook friends is like the Korean.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be too harsh. But anyway, it starts off like, Glenn Howerton's character, Corey, is like at the dance club, and he ends up finding like his ex-girlfriend there, and he doesn't even realize that they've actually broken up all the way or whatever. And she's like, no, it was a real breakup and stuff like that. You know, sorry if there was like any, you know, miscommunication or whatever. And, you know, he's just kind of like pretending to not, you know, believe her or whatever. And, you know, he goes home. His dad is like kind of like a jokey kind of character. I don't really know how to really pinpoint his
very, very male chauvinist, misogynistic sort of typical dad of the 80s sort of thing.
Yeah, he's just kind of got that thing. And plus, too, he's like, you know, he dotes on his daughter as being like the, you know, like the, you know, the good one. Like, oh, she's an entrepreneur because she's like trying to do a candle business or some or service or whatever.
Yeah.
And which is funny because they talk about his philosophy degree, which is hilarious because he plays Jack Griffin in AP Bio, and he literally is like a philosophy professor, head of philosophy. Yeah. I just thought that was kind of funny, you know. not sure if that was connected at all, or, you know.
Probably not.
Yeah, it was just kind of funny, you know. He works at the record store, and like the owner is just like, I don't even really know, like, she's like a blank slate character. I mean, she doesn't really have like any emotions at all. Like, she's just kind of like,
yeah,
oh, but I used to hook up with this rock star, you know, like type of thing. Like
in really good actually, they did write to Margaret Smith's strength, though, because that's how she does. She's a really, really funny stand-up comic.
Okay.
And that's kind of how her delivery is. And
okay,
it works really well in the stand-up world. Maybe not so much in a sitcom. But,
yeah.
Yeah. But she's kind of this one-note, kind of one-liner sort of really funny comic. She was really big in the, like, I don't know, 90s and 2000s and stuff. So
okay.
I think she writes for Ellen DeGeneres now or something, but she's pretty funny.
That's cool. Yeah, so for some reason, though, he gives this buddy a ride to work every day, even though he's like some big time, which I didn't really understand that aspect of it. It's like he's like some, like, I don't know, corporate dude or whatever, and yet he can't afford his own car for some reason or something, and needs like his philosophy major best friend works at a record store to take him to work at whatever.
Well, it should and be like, that it's probably that he wants to be a big, you know, time yuppie, but he's not really a yuppie.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's I don't know, just a weird, like, the weird thing about this episode, okay, is like it seems like half the time it's trying to be like a satire about like a show from the 80s, and then half the time it's almost like pretending to be a show from the 80s, but like not really done on purpose, like that wasn't like the intention, you know, like, because like when they're riding in the car, there is like this funny moment, a brief funny moment, where they're like, you know, I can't believe what happened to you, and like, I can't believe what happened to you, and all this kind of stuff, and like, you know, and like the, you know his friend's like listening to like one of these like self-help bullshit tapes, like, I am successful, and you know, all this kind of stuff to, like, you know, pump him up or whatever. And then Corey takes the tape out and puts Talking Heads in there. You know, the guy's like, you know, like, you know, the lyrics basically saying, like, how did I get here? This is not my beautiful life or whatever. And then, like, Corey's like, I deserve a big house. You know, like, kind of making fun of it. You know, I deserve a beautiful wife. You know, so it's like, it's kind of funny. He's razzing them a little bit. And all of a sudden it gets into, like, just such a cheesy, like, okay, so that brief moment was taken away now with, you know, this thing. And I don't know, man, just not a lot really happened in this episode, really.
So basically then, you know, Corey gets to work, he goes there, and while he's there, he is upset because, you know, he just got broken up with. And I did like the delivery of Margaret, where he says something like, you know, I got broken up with I got dumped by my girlfriend for a woman, and she's just like, it happens. just the way she said it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So, while he's there, he ends up meeting June Tuesday, played by Shyler Lee, which is really weird to see. I just want to point this out, because if you're a fan of her on Grey's Anatomy, or which she was on for a little bit, or especially Supergirl, which I'm a big fan of, and I know you are, Matt, she... you can't even believe that's the same actress, really.
I can't, no.
No. Kind of shows her strengths, that she's versatile as an actress. She's this punk rock chick with, like, really spiky hair. They have their little tete-a-tete, their meet-cute, their, you know... their little, like, you know... Oh, I'm a punk, you can't deal with it. And, oh, I'm a guy with a haircut from the Blue Lagoon, you know, another 80s reference.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, you probably used to listen to the Bay City Rollers, and then he leaves and she's just like, I did like the Bay City Rollers. Yeah.
I know. I did like that line, though, when she came in for the first time. He's like, oh, look, there's punk rock Brewster over there.
Yeah.
I thought that was good. I like that line.
Yeah. I thought it was Rooster. You said Brewster?
No, you know, I said Brewster, like Punky Brewster.
Yeah, I thought it was... I thought he said Rooster.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not sure, because...
I just assume because that show was from the 80s.
Yeah, it could be. It could be that he was going... Either one of them is kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I like Punk Rock Brewster better than Rooster.
That's a good band name right there, Punk Rock Rooster.
Yeah. Actually, Punky and the Brewsters.
No, I'm joking. You know, I had a punk band once for like a really short while, and I actually had really stupid song titles, like one was called Punky Brewster, Will You Marry Me? Like, yeah. You know, whatever, like, just stupid stuff, like, just because I was watching episodes of the show one day, and I was like, oh, that's a good title for a show. The lyrics had actually nothing to do with the show whatsoever. It was just that was the name of the song. And then we had another one called I Shot JR. I was basically watching a lot of, like, 80s shows, I think, and it just, for some reason, and of course, that song had nothing to do with JR or being shot. In fact, actually, in the lyrics, I even specifically mentioned that I Shot JR is a metaphor for losing hope in life. No idea why. The band only lasted about a month, and it was just me and my brother, him on guitar and me on vocals. No drums. Well, not even a drum.
You lasted a fourth of the time that this TV show lasted.
Yeah, I guess so. We did one performance at Headliners, or the Hard Hat Cafe, as it was called back then, I think, for a battle of the... This is a weird story, sorry. I'll be done in a second. for a battle of the bands thing. And I swear to God, though, like, people actually loved our performance, even though it was completely ridiculous. Like, I think it's because they knew it was a big joke. We opened up with a song called The Albanian Slave Revolt, which was just a completely botched history lesson that I had read off the internet one time, where it was about how, I guess, like, the Ottoman Empire was trying to encroach upon Albania or something like that, and then the Albanians revolted against them. So I was like, oh, cool, the Albanian slave revolt. Okay, I guess that sounds cool. And the lyrics to that song were pretty stupid. Anyway, sorry, that was just a weird, weird tangent right there. But we were called Attack of the Id. I came up with that name. And the Id, you know, is like the opposite of the ego.
Yeah.
The Id's kind of like, basically, like the stuff you don't have control over. It's kind of like the, you know, the reactions that you have when you don't have, like, a strong ego to put you in check or whatever. Anyway, yeah, fun times.
And speaking of Punky Brewster, you should check out the Peacock reboot of that. That was really good. Also on Hulu, Soleil Moon Frye has a documentary out that she directed called Kid 90, which I watched, which I highly recommend anybody watch. It's her home movies and stuff from the 90s when she was growing up.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's pretty, I don't know, it's a very moving documentary. I highly recommend it. So anyways, back to that 80s show. So later on, the dad came into the store. Was that before or after? When was that?
I don't know. At some point, he comes into the store. This was after he got broken up with, I think, because she mentioned, yeah, because that, at first, you know, the boss said, you know, like, you're going to be both working together or whatever, and then I think the next day.
Yeah, so there's a scene at one point where it's just, the scene where, the sister, Katie, mm-hmm. is just sitting there randomly, being completely 1980s. There we go.
Yeah.
So she's just sitting there with a wine cooler in her hand, you know, listening to "Love Is a Battlefield" on the MTV or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And singing along with it and dancing, and then Sophia, Brittany Daniels' character, the ex-girlfriend of the brother, comes over, blah, blah, blah. She ends up kissing Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the name of my band, Kissing Katie. we only play hymns from the 15th century. It's a weird thing, but, you know... You know, it is what it is. But she kisses Katie, and then Katie's like, whoa, 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 what's up, you know, sort of thing, you know, kind of,
yeah.
Doesn't, you know, she wants to be friends still, and blah, blah, blah. And so then we have a scene later on. These may be out of order, folks, but it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. where they're watching Dynasty, and they're doing a drinking game where you take a shot every time somebody slaps somebody on Dynasty.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, probably happened only like once an episode. So you would have to watch several episodes of Dynasty to actually get drunk. I'm just saying.
But they were taking shots like every 20 seconds or something like
that. Yeah, it didn't happen that often on the show, really. I mean, it was known for that. But it wasn't like the show was just people slapping each other. It happened, you know, maybe twice or three times an episode at the most, you know?
Maybe they had like a VHS and they just recorded all the parts where they slapped and then they just took a shot.
It looked like they were actually watching an episode. So I'm just saying.
No, my headcanon, they recorded it.
It's like,
it'd
be like the equivalent of watching, I don't know, like The Office and taking a shot every time Michael gets mad at Toby.
Yeah.
Which is maybe once an episode, maybe. I'm just saying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of stupid. But, they've got this stupid game they're drinking and everything, and then she lets Corey know that that Sophia kissed her. And, Yep. Do you want to take a break, Matt?
Sure.
Because my head hurts.
We'll take a wine cooler break, or maybe that will be one of the commercials. Who knows?
Yes, yes. Maybe Bartles and James are going to sponsor us. Remember Bartles and James?
No, actually.
It was a wine cooler company, and these two old dudes were in the commercials, and they were sitting on a porch and just talking about Bartles and James. Anyways.
Oh, jeez, I think I vaguely remember that. Is that the one that had, like, the foil that you had to unwrap to drink it?
I don't know, because I was a child at the time, and...
Well, no, me too. But, yeah, I was drinking wine coolers as, like, a four-year-old.
Anyways, we're going to be right back, folks. Bye.
What is Gen X? What is the silent generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And, as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
And thank you for your support. That's what Bartles and James used to say at the end of their ads.
Do they?
Yep.
Oh.
That's all. Wow. That's all, folks. Okay, anyways, we're back. I had to look that up on break. So this show,
mm-hmm.
We've learned that love is a battlefield.
Yes.
And that, you know, that is not my beautiful house. That is not my beautiful wife.
Yeah.
Yep. We've learned a lot so far, haven't we?
About the 80s.
Yes.
It takes place in the 80s. Do you understand that?
Yes.
By the way, it takes place in the 80s.
It's in the title.
It is.
Yes. So
in the title.
So next in this episode, after, you know, they find out that Sophia kissed Katie. At some point, Corey decides to go work for his dad.
Oh, yes.
In something shoehorned into this episode that could have been a whole episode itself.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to point that out.
Yeah.
No major offense to the writing, but it was like they were trying to fit too much into this episode, but not enough at the same time.
Right, a pilot, so they're trying to make sure they can fit everything in, is, you know, to make sure that, you know, it got picked up by the network, probably.
But usually, the quote-unquote artsy guy going to work for his dad thing is usually a whole episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but he goes there, his dad's like an ad executive or something, and he's trying to come up with ideas, and he can't come up with any. The end.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally, like, there was an interesting moment there that it was very classic Glenn Howerton, but before he really, like, perfected his craft. Like, it was Dennis Miller slash.
Not Dennis Jack Miller. Dennis Reynolds.
Yeah, sorry. Dennis Miller. Yeah. no, totally different character. Or act, well, character, I guess you'd call it. Anyway, because I think he's full of shit. Anyway, he's like, you know, that, you know, he's basically trying to come up with a slogan for like a weed whacker or something like that. And his dad comes in, he's like, "How are you doing, son?" He's like, taking a nap. And he's like, "I got nothing," or whatever. Just like, but it was like before he was able to sort of perfect that kind of.
It's very, it's very Dennis Reynolds or Jack Griffin. His character on AP Bio. It was interesting. It did have very Glenn Howerton, you know. And Glenn Howerton is just funny. I mean, this show has a good cast.
It does.
The writing isn't totally horrible, but it's too reliant on the 80s.
Yeah.
That's the problem. But anyways, So he can't do that, so he comes back to work at the store. There were some other scenes. They're pointless. And,
yeah, I mean, what else happened? I mean, I'm trying to think.
There's a scene where they're at the dance club, and Sophia hugs Katie in kind of a sensual way. That's about it that happens there.
Yeah, she apologizes for, like, I guess, hitting on her or something like that, or whatever. And what was Corey's friend's name?
Roger.
Yeah. Roger. Okay, I was thinking Eddie, but that's his real name, right?
Yeah, Eddie Shin is his real name. Yeah.
Okay, so that's actually the actor's name. Yeah, so Roger, he says something like, "Oh, I go both ways too." By the way, like their depiction of bisexuality in this show is very 80s, if that was intentional or not, because it's just very, like,
yeah, because there was crude, there was a line earlier in the episode where Glenn Howerton's character said she's like a vegan that likes turkey every once in a while,
right? And it's like, that's very simple, like, oversimplification. Because very interesting. I don't want to go on too much of a tangent here, but there's very interesting debate right now between people who use the phrase pansexuality and bisexuality. And a lot of the people who use the word pansexuality, they believe that bisexual doesn't cover enough ground, I guess. But a lot of people from like the early 90s who are bisexual basically say, well, pretty much bisexuality at that time pretty much means the same thing what you call pansexuality. So it's kind of like a wash. Like, you use your term, we use our term, pretty much means the same thing. You know, so it's interesting to kind of see, like, It's a weird tangent, I know. See how words evolve and change and stuff like that. And at the same time, the old words might actually have and the then, same meaning.
And then how people get so pissed off when words change or things change in the world. Or, you know, you can't be more accepting or, you know, progressive or open to more things. You know, it's just, like, so stupid because, you know, it is what it is. The world sucks. But anyways, he goes back to work. He comes outside to take out the trash. And Tuesday is out there. With her hair down.
Yep.
And they have their little... he says, get off the owner's Harley. Because she's sitting up against a Harley.
Right.
And she's got her hair down. And he's basically trying to imply that, oh, you know, you got to admit that you took your hair down because of something I said.
Right.
Because women never think for themselves, by the way. Anyways,
That's very 80s. And plus, too, that could have been an arc that went at least, you know, 6 or 10 episodes, not just one episode of, like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I did. I mean, I don't remember most of it, but I did watch every episode of the show when it was on.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, sadly. Yeah, I know. Just because it was, like, there was, you know, this was before I had, like, you know, you couldn't, there was no Netflix and shit, you know. So, right, it was like, you know, we didn't have the options to watch whatever we want, whenever we want.
Right. Like, you taped everything.
Yeah.
Took out your VHS tapes and or DVDs or whatever.
So I watched most of the episodes, I should say, probably not all of them. But they kind of went into a whole thing where there was a... will they, won't they sort of thing with June and and Corey, and they kind of did start dating each other in the whole second half of the series, the last, you know, 6 episodes. we're kind of about, you know, their relationship in a way. They were kind of the Eric Foreman and Donna Pinciotti of this show, you know.
Donna.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Donna Pinciotti.
Kind of. I mean, they were... I mean, Eric and Donna were kind of more similar to each other.
Yeah. But they... I'm just saying they were kind of the central couple of the show.
Yeah.
So... which is hard to, you know, really gauge on 13 episodes.
Right.
Did you want to take another break here, Matt, and then we can come back, and now that we've kind of basically... I got to figure out how... I got to kind of explain how this ended. they have their little fight... their fight flirting. And he says something about getting coffee, and she's like, I was already going to get coffee.
Right, yeah.
It's like, if you want to follow me, you can, you know.
Right, yeah.
And so that's basically how the show ends.
Yep.
Except for there's, like, a little after-credits thing where Katie and Corey are singing at the piano for some reason.
God.
Singing some Carpenter song or something. And
some stupid song. And the dad's like, how much do I gotta pay you to stop? And then they start singing worse, you know?
Yeah.
Stuff like that, you know? Yeah, it was kind of like, almost kind of like remind me of All in the Family a little bit.
The way it was shot was kind of very All in the Family sitting at a
piano. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to take a break now, Matt?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we'll come back and we'll talk some trivia and some reviews of this glorious show. Yeah.
It's the ninja from the Asked Angry Ninja Show saying, come listen to the show. We got the ninja wife to give you your movie reviews. We got the conscript to give you the ninja news. And we got the battle to talk about your sports. And as always, it is the Asked Angry Ninja Show. So ask me a question. We'll give you the ninja knowledge you need for your ninja life. Search for us anywhere you get your podcast from. Just search for the Asked Angry Ninja Show and enjoy the show.
And we are back. Those were some great ads.
I agree.
I don't know what they were for.
Yeah, but I guess they were good.
Yeah,
Hopefully. And
thank you for your support.
Yeah.
As Bartles and James would say. okay. Here's this website I found called Terrible TV Shows.
Oh, boy.
And here's what they have as why it sucks. I'm just going to... Despite being a spinoff of That 70s Show, it has nothing in common with that show besides the name. It was only made to cash in on the newly emerged 1980s revival that dominated the 2000s. None of the cast members of the characters from That 70s Show appear in the spinoff. Bland, one-dimensional characters. All of the daring stuff that made That 70s Show popular is absent in this spinoff. Cheap and forced humor that relies on 1980s references. Boring episode plots. Pointless celebrity cameos from the 80s, celebrities like Tiffany and Pat Benatar. Similar to Henry Danger in many modern sitcoms, this show overuses the laugh track as if the audience was high on cocaine. Yeah, redeeming qualities. A good selection of 1980s music, such as Killing Joke's 80s as the main theme. And then the second thing that they have is, there are a handful of funny jokes. Yep. Here's some trivia. The show was Glenn Howerton's acting debut.
Oh, wow.
Corey Howard, Glenn Howerton's character, is supposedly the cousin of Eric Foreman from That 70s Show, which is never brought up in the series itself.
What? Wow.
Yeah. Which is funny because the night before this show premiered, Brittany Daniels, who plays Sophia, played Eric's cousin in an episode of That 70s Show.
Wow. So,
but she wasn't his cousin in this show.
From what? Well, what side of the family would that be? His dad?
I don't know. I don't know if they ever said. I just remember it was like the name of the show was like Eric's hot cousin. Yeah.
Interesting.
It was like this point where Eric even had a crush on his cousin, sort of storyline. It was weird. Huh. I guess later on in the show, Charlie Day appeared.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So three of the show's actors, Glenn Howerton, Charlie Day, and Brittany Daniel, would go on to star in the well-received adult sitcom It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia as as Dennis Reynolds, Charlie Kelly, and Carmen the transsexual.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. Yeah, I forgot that Brittany was in that. She played the Carmen.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's some trivia here. Here's some user reviews from the Internet Movie Database. Here's one called How Bad Can TV Get? This was from HN93, written on the 18th of March 2002. What a poor effort. That 80s show aired in New Zealand tonight, and it was a new high in low for TV. Seriously, unfunny, lame characters, and poor cash-in on the success of That 70s Show. Anyone who derives enjoyment out of this probably can't remember yesterday, let alone the 1980s. Good one, what? Fox. Cancel Married with Children and Futurama and put this on? Quality program. Nah, who needs that?
Wait, when did they cancel Married with Children?
It went off the air shortly before that, and honestly,
oh wow,
and honestly, Married with Children ended on its own terms. It was never canceled.
Okay.
So that's, yeah, but they did cancel Futurama, and then it was brought back later on, on Comedy Central.
Right, yeah. Interesting.
Okay, here's one called Too Bad. This was written on March 19th, 2003, from Darth Bill. It really wasn't all that different from that 70s show. Just about every joke was thrown in. Mm. Some funny, some not. I admit I only tuned in to see the adorable Tinsley Grimes. I think this show could have become something better than it was if it had been given more of a chance. And also, if the writers had taken it more slowly with things like the love-hate relationship between Corey and Tuesday. I think another problem with the show was the lead character of Corey himself. The writers weren't sure what to do with him. He was supposed to be a nice guy. He was supposed to be a jerk. They hadn't figured him out yet. But that's why you have to give a show like this time, so you can flesh out your characters and figure out who they really are.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she was adorable, by the way.
Yeah. I liked her. She had like a recurring role on Smart Guy.
Hmm.
The show about the kid who was smart.
I don't remember that one.
It was a show. It starred T.J. Moriarty, the brother of Tia and Tamara, and then also had Omar Gooding, the brother of Cuba Gooding, and I just wanted to point that out, that there were two brothers of other people that are more famous. It was a really good show. It was like a TGIF show that I think transferred over to the WB.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's on Disney Plus. If you haven't watched it, I highly recommend it.
Cool.
The pilot episode is shot on the sets of Boy Meets World.
Okay.
And then they get their own set in the second episode. So, just letting you know that. Okay. So, but no, she had like a small role on that from time to time, and I always thought she was cute. Okay. Here's a 10 out of 10 review. Yeah. This was written on April 21st of 2017 by Alan Veets. I'm sorry, but I love this show. I loved it when it first aired. I just watched every episode again, and I love it still. It's not just funny, it's witty. Eddie Shin and Tinsley Grimes are laugh-out-loud funny. Glenn Howerton and Schuyler Lee are adorable as the will-they-won't-they couple. And Brittany Daniels, Margaret Smith, and Jeff Pearson are great filling out the cast. Yes, this makes fun of the 80s. I lived through the 80s. There was a lot to make fun of. If you can watch this series without a smile on your face, then you don't want to be happy.
Yeah. The thing is, like, being corny and stuff like that, that's fine, but, like,
the show was,
there's a way to do it.
It was like, too reliant on the 80s is what the problem was. It's like, because that 70s show took place in the 70s. It's like there are good shows that take place in the 70s. Or the 80s, or whatever decade they're supposed to be. They take, like the Wonder Years took place in the 60s.
Yes.
But it didn't rely on the fact that it took place in the 60s for its heart and humor.
Yeah, exactly, too. And it's like, there's a way to, you can still drop references into the era you're in, but, like, that shouldn't be, like, the butt of the joke. Or, so, for example, like, I know, in one of the episodes of that 70s show, they were trying to get, like, tickets to go to Led Zeppelin or something like that. But, like, the joke wasn't, like, Led Zeppelin, get it, 70s? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you could have written that in modern days, and they could have been trying to get tickets to Taylor Swift. You know what I mean? It's like, exactly, it doesn't have to be what, you know, whatever it is. And it's like, you know, like Freaks and Geeks took place in the 80s.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the point of the show.
No, and that show is still relevant to this day.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
you can watch that show. You can watch that show and be born, you know, 10 years ago and still enjoy it. Not maybe not 10 years ago, but 20 years ago.
Well, maybe not 10.
Yeah. So you probably shouldn't. Yeah. If you're 10 and you're watching Freaks and Geeks, I don't know. There might be something wrong with you. I'm not sure. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the point of some of sitcoms a lot. Like, you know, the point of The Office isn't the fact that it takes place in an office.
Yeah.
It's about the characters. It's not about the time period or the setting. And that's right, what makes you like a show. It's not, you know, oh, we're funny because we're in an office, or oh, we're funny because it's the 70s, or oh, we're funny because it's the 80s, or oh, it's funny because it's the 60s. No, it's because of, you know, when it took place. I mean, what? Not, it's not because of when it took place. It's because of the characters and the plots.
Right. That
could happen anywhere or any time, almost, you know?
Yeah.
That's the problem with this show. So, would you recommend anyone watch this show, Matt?
Maybe as, I don't know, if you're just, like, messing around, you just want to watch something that's kind of funny, like, if, like, I don't know, like, if you, like, you're not really paying attention to it, or, like, if you just want to, like, sit, you know, like, show someone, like, hey, you know, this is a show that came out, like, in the early 2000s, and you know, only had one short season, you know, maybe.
Do you think the show could have lasted if it was, like, maybe developed better?
I mean, I only watched the pilot episode, so I don't know, but, like, based off of that, I think that if they didn't make, for one thing, the set was also very limited. I mean, like, most of the scenes only took place in, like, the club. And, like, well, I guess technically the same thing happened in that 70s show. They spent a lot of time in the basement. But, like, I don't know. I mean, if they developed the characters more and they did more, I don't know, just more cinematography. Just, you know, take some more risks. I mean, like you know, the very first episode, pilot episode of that 70s show, you know, Eric gets drunk or whatever, and it actually makes, like, the room, like, spinning, you know, when he's trying to talk to his parents or whatever, you know, like, that was pretty cool, you know, like, you know, if it took some more risks, I think, yeah, doing stuff like that, not just trying to make, like, a straight sitcom, which I think is maybe what they were trying to do with this show, like, get it, it takes place in the 80s, but we're also going to make it look kind of like an 80s show at the same time, sort of, but not all the way, so I think that if they thought about it a little bit more, and maybe if they took more risks, and if they kind of knew exactly what they wanted to do, because there are shows that sometimes will alternate between, like, making it a satire about that kind of show and making it like that show too. So it's not like it has to be one or the other. You know what I mean?
I mean, there's a difference between, like, the Brady Bunch movies where they make fun of the Brady Bunch in a way.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Those are good movies, though.
And watching the actual Brady Bunch. I think, you know, the only reason to really watch this is to see a young Glenn Howerton and a young Schuyler Lee. Yeah. That's basically it, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, the rest of the cast are pretty good, but, you know, like the dad, he was on that Unhappily Ever After show. Speaking of Married with Children, which was, like, basically a Married with Children kind of clone, created by the same people, but with a talking bunny, and but he was basically playing that same character, in a way. So it was kind of like, I mean, he's a good actor, Jeff Pearson, but it's just kind of, I mean, I've seen him in a lot of things where he's a really good character actor, but. This, I don't know. It just seems like it was a retread. But, yeah, like I said, young Schuyler Lee, young Glenn Howerton, young Brittany Daniel, actually. It's good to watch for that aspect. You know, the cast is good, but I wouldn't really watch much of it. I mean, it's not like a rewatchable show. Anyways, anything else, Matt, before we go?
You know, just, if you want to check out, my old guitar teacher's album, he's a jazz guitarist, he's got a new album coming out called Low Rent Space, from the what's it called? The Quick Quartet, I think is what his band name is called. Yeah.
Jason Quick is his name.
Yeah, Jason Quick. Really, really good guitar, good jazz guitar. You know, if you don't like jazz guitar, you know, it's not... He's got his own style that's kind of makes it a little bit more listenable for people who maybe don't normally listen to jazz, so it's not like it's too, like you gotta be, like, part of the jazz elite to listen to this, you know, type of thing or whatever. I mean, I'm not sure if there is such a thing called a jazz elite. It's like an organization, like, you know, membership kind of thing, like...
They're all reptilian people.
Yeah, yeah, they're reptilian jazz. Yeah, yeah, so, hey, it's true. We said it on the internet, so it's true now. We don't need evidence
or proof.
No.
Nope. It's in the Bible. Anyways, yeah, check that out. Check out Matt's music. Be sure to like our Facebook page, follow our Facebook group. Go to alltoreal2.com. That'll just take you to our Facebook page if you want to go there right now. Do us a big favor. Here's something I haven't asked for in a while. Go on iTunes and give us a review. I don't even care if it's a bad one.
Yeah.
Just give us a review. Because the more reviews you get, the more chances people will listen to the show. It helps with the metrics and all that shit I don't understand.
All that algorithm crap.
Yeah, yeah.
Algorithm.
Ooh.
Get it? Because Al Gore claims he invented the internet, which we all know he did not, because he's a liberal.
That explains it all.
Yep.
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 I'm Alex Jones, and, you know, the frogs are becoming gay. And, anyway, so...
And I subsist on a diet off of beer and chicken wings, buffalo wings, and my voice completely shot.
Yep.
Okay. New world order. Globalism.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Keep America great. Anyways, be sure to, you know, check that out. Like our pages, like our show, follow us. You know, just whatever you can do, share the show. I want to get us more listeners, and I think we can.
Me too.
Because people ask how they can support the show, and that's basically how you can. And if you do support the show, like Bartles and James, you know what I'll say? Thanks for your support. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.